Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, I have always loved that song, and especially the version by Tennessee Ernie Ford. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 20th of April, 2017. We're going to start in chapter 11 of the book of Zechariah. Don't know how far we'll get. We may get through the rest of the book. When I finish the prophets, there's going to be four shows probably. On Daniel, I'm going into a different schedule because I just don't have the time to do everything. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, after the book of Daniel is finished, I'll be into Psalms, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll be starting reruns of my Word for Word, beginning in Genesis, because there are so many newcomers that have asked me, how do I get to listen to Genesis? Well, the first couple of Genesis shows, show one was a good show, show two and show three were not. They had terrible audio problems. Couldn't even listen to them. It was terrible. So I re-recorded them. They are not in the archives. I have them. I'm going to be playing them as replacements. We haven't been able to do the archives. There's been problems with TalkShoe. And the archives come off of TalkShoe. So we're working on alternatives. Please be patient for archives. But I will play those re-recorded shows on the Word for Word program. Beginning Tuesday, the 5th of May. So, or the 2nd of May, pardon me. May 2nd, we'll begin the Genesis reruns, starting from the very first, and then on Thursday will be another one. So be prepared for that. When I am done with all of Psalms and Proverbs, I'll get into other books. I'm not going to stop. I just need more time to record and do things in my life. I have got to have some time. I cannot keep this schedule up. I'm too old. I'm going to have a break now and then, so I'm going to be doing some reruns. Praise Yahweh, I have the archives of them to do. Let's get started here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Let me get a drink of water, clear my throat here. There we go. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Open your doors, O Lebanon, so that the fire may devour your cedars. Okay. All these trees here are metaphorically used for men. These are people. Okay, not literal trees. Okay. Verse 2. Howl, 3, 2, 1, 3, fir tree, 1:2-6:5, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty, 1:1-7, that's Adir, are devastated. Howl, O you oaks, 4:3-7, of Bashan, 13:16, for the forest, 3:2-9:3, of the vintage, 1:2-0:5, is come down. And 1:2-0:8, the vintage is Butsir. That is a stately old forest. In other words, all their old traditions and all their former might and greatness is going to fall. Verse 3. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is destroyed. These are not shepherds. It's a metaphorical or figurative use for princes. Verse 4. Thus says Yahweh, my Elohim. This is Zechariah speaking. Tend the flock of the slaughter. The flock of the slaughter equals the poor. You'll see that in verse 7. Verse 5. Whose owners slay them and have no guilt. And they that sell them say, blessed is Yahweh, for I am rich. 6:2-3:8. And their own shepherds show no pity upon them. And rulers. Okay. Owners in this passage in verse 5 is as the shepherds or rulers. 7:0-6:9. Their own rulers slay them. Sort of like when a president sends off a whole bunch of young men for a useless war for the profit of the Talmudic Jews. So they can make lots of money off the blood of the white Christians. Sort of like that. Okay. Verse 6. Because I will no more show pity upon the inhabitants of the land, says Yahweh. But lo, I will deliver the Adami, that's the men of the race of Adam, everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. And they shall crush the land. And from their hand I will not deliver them. Mm-hmm. People are going to rise up. Verse 7, and I will tend the flock of slaughter, you, O poor of the flock, Yahweh's flock, those that were to be killed by the evil rulers. And I took to me two staves, 4:7-3:1, the one I called favor, 5:2-7:8, that's Noam, and the other I called binding, 2:2-5:4. Chabal, that's as a symbol of fraternity. And I tended the flock. Now this is Zechariah. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month. Oh. And my soul was impatient with them, and their soul also felt a loathing against me. Then I said, I will not tend you. That which dies, let it die, and that which is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed, and let the survivors eat every woman the flesh of her fellow woman. Cannibalism. Okay. This was in the past. Verse 10. And I took my staff, favor, and cut it in two, 14:38, Gada, so that I might break, 6:5-6:5, Parar, my covenant which I had made with all the people of Israel. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that watched me knew that it was the word of Yahweh. He's telling people what this is what Yahweh said to me. You doubt me. Now you know it's the word of Yahweh. Verse 12 and 13, you can reference Matthew 27, verses 9 and 10, and verse 12 itself, you can reference Matthew 26, verse 15. Verse 12, and I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. Not price, wages, shakar. 7939, and if not, forbear. In other words, hold back, 2308. So they weighed out, 8254, my wages. 30 pieces of silver, 3701. Where are you going to hear 30 pieces of silver? Okay, the wages. Price, instead of wages, is used in verse 13. Verse 12 does not have the word price in it. Verse 13, and Yahweh said to me, this is Zechariah he's talking to, cast it to the potter, the magnificence of the price that I was appraised of by them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of Yahweh. Verse 14, then I cut into my other staff, binding, so that I might break the brotherhood, 2:6:4, between Yehuda and Israel. Verse 15, and Yahweh said to me, take to you yet the equipment of a foolish shepherd. Verse 16, because, lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who shall not visit those that are cut off, nor seek the scattered ones, nor heal that which is broken, nor sustain that which stands firm, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat. 1:2:7:7, that's prosperous as fat sheep. And tear off, 6:5:6:1, their hooves, 6:5:4:1. Verse 17, woe to the worthless shepherd that abandons the flock. Shepherd, 7:4:7:3, figurative as a ruler, 7:4:6:2, same word. Abandons his flock. The preachers that teach falsehood today. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be totally dried up. That's withered. And his right eye shall be utterly dimmed. That's 3:5:4:3. Kaha. As violently put out. This was written during the return from Babylonian captivity and concerns the current time period, as some say the future Antichrist, as the wicked one that is described in verse 17. In verse 15, the word used for foolish is the only use in Scripture. It's not used anywhere else. Its root has the meaning always of moral wrongness. And this also was said to be the future Antichrist. Verse 12 does not have the word price in it. It means wages. Price is used in 13. Words should not be changed to match man's doctrine. These churches have modified the words. entire doctrines have been erroneously formed on mistranslations, like Jehovah's Witnesses. There is nowhere in Scripture where the word Jehovah is found. Nowhere. It's a result of a scribal error with Masoretic vowel points. That's all it is. It's a mess. Like with Gentile. There's no Gentile in the Bible, old or new. It's not in the original language. It was inserted in a mistranslation. It's now considered correct because... pardon me. I was eating fruit salad and I had a little piece of apple that got into the wrong pipe. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm eating a lot of fruits and no red meat and stuff. I really need to slim down. It's been used for so long that it's accepted. The wicked shepherd would not seek to bring the dispersed ones back to Israel. If this is a figurative of the Antichrist, he was also not seek to inform the true dispersed of Israel their true identity. Does that sound familiar? The true shepherds, the Christian identity pastors today, are informing Israel who they are. And this does not go over well by the children of the adversary. They really hate that. They don't want Israel to know their identity. Oh, that cough got away with me. Well, let's get into chapter 12 of the book of Zechariah. It's very short. It's only 14 verses. And chapter 13 is only 9. We're probably going to finish Zechariah today. Let's just put it that way. Verse 1, the prophetic utterance of the word of Yahweh for Israel, says Yahweh, which stretches forth the skies and lays the foundation of the land and forms the spirit of Adam within him. These are all appellations of Yahweh. Now Yahweh speaks. Verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a goblet, 5592, of reeling, 7478, to all the people around her. That's like a goblet of wrath. Okay, that's a symbol of Yahweh's wrath. When they begin the siege, 4692, both against Yehuda and against Jerusalem. Verse 3, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all those people. All that burden themselves with it shall be severely scratched. Like carrying a big rough stone on your shoulder. Just grind right through your skin. Even though all the people of the land are gathered together against it. It doesn't matter how many people gather together. When Yahweh wants something done, it's going to be done. Verse 4. And in that day, says Yahweh, I will smite every horse with bewilderment, 8541, Timahan, and his rider with madness, 7697, at Shigaon, total panic. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Yehuda and will smite every horse of the people with blindness, 5788, Iwaron, the blind staggers that cause the horses to act wildly. Verse 5, and the chiefs, 441, of Yehuda shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. Verse 6, in that day I will make the chiefs of Yehuda like a pot of fire among wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in the place where it stands in Jerusalem. So the leaders are going to be like firebrands, and they're going to defeat all these enemies. Verse 8, and that day Yahweh shall give protection about, and that's 1598 and 1157 combined, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble, 3782, among them at that day shall be as David, a mighty warrior. And the house of David shall be as Elohim, like divine being, Elohim, small e, as the messenger, 4397, of Yahweh before them. And the messenger is always used to describe theophantic angels. These angels of wrath, so they're going to be just like angels and just slaughter these enemies. Well, that applies to now. Wait till Yeshua comes back with flaming fire. He's going to change all of us that survive. And if we don't survive, we will be raised and be in new bodies then. What a fearsome army we are going to be. Have faith in Yahweh. This is only a testing ground. Give your hope to Yahweh. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Jerusalem being a figurative of Israel. Verse 10. And verse 10 through 14, you can reference Matthew 24, verse 20. And verse 10 itself, you can reference John 19, verse 37. And Revelations 1, verse 7. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Amen. And they shall look upon me who they have pierced. Oh, that's messianic right there. And they shall wail for him. 5594, wail, as one wails, 4553, for his only son, 3173, and shall be made bitter, 4843, marar, for him, as one is made bitter for his firstborn. In other words, the Messiah will have been slain for our sins, and will be bitter over his death. But he's coming back. And he did what he had to do for us, okay? He had to lay down his life so that we might live. But we can sure be bitter against the ones that murdered him. And it wasn't the Romans. It was the Talmudic worshiping Pharisees, known today as Jews, that practiced Judaism. Christ killers. Christ haters. They hate him today and would kill him today if they could. And they're going to get theirs shortly. Verse 11. And that day there shall be a great wailing in Jerusalem, as the wailing of Hadad-Rimmon, 1910, that's a Syrian storm god, and it's also a place in Palestine, in the valley of Megiddon, 4023, or Megiddo. Below the mountain of Megiddo, Har Megiddo. Verse 12, and the land shall wail, every family alone, the family of the house of David alone, and their wives alone, the family of the house of Natan, 5416, alone, and their wives alone, the family of the house of Levi alone, that's the Levites, and their wives alone, the family of the house of Shimei, 8079, alone, and their wives alone, all the families that remain, every family alone and their wives alone. And the period of wailing is because of the realization that they had slain the Son of Yahweh. And the period of wailing is for their sins. Wow. Chapter 13 of the book of Zechariah. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That's Makor, fountain, 4726, for a fountain of cleansing. That's an abstract. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols, 6091, Atzabim, that's always a plural use, from the land, and they shall be remembered no more. And I will also cause to pass from the land the prophets, Nabiim, as the false prophets, and the unclean, 2932, spirit. And those are spirits called up by the necromancers or mediums. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 3. And it shall come to pass when any man shall yet prophesy, 5012, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say to him, you shall not live. For you speak lies, 8267, in the name of Yahweh. And his father and his mother shall thrust him through, 1856, when he prophesies. They'll love Yahweh more than their son, who is a false prophet, and they'll kill him. Verse 4. And it shall come to pass in that day the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, 2384, Mekeziono, when he is prophesied, neither shall they wear, 3847, a hair, 8181, mantle, 155, to lie, 3584, the prophets wore a hair shirt, like John the Baptist. Verse 5, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a man that works the soil, for Adam acquired me from my youth. They're going to confess they're not prophets. Verse 6, and one shall say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. This is pretty poetic here. Let me clear my pipes, get another drink of water, and I'll read this next verse. Verse 7. And you can reference Matthew 26, verse 31, and Mark 14, 27, for verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my neighbor, says Yahweh of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the insignificant. 6:8:19, and that's Sa'ar, that's his little sheep. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts of it shall be cut off and die, but the third part of it shall be left in it. Two-thirds of the population is going to die during the tribulation. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They're purified by smelting. And they shall call on my name. Well, who calls on his name today? The Christian identity people. And I will answer them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim. Now, who claims Yahweh as Elohim today but Christian identity? Oh, there are a few others. But who teaches and preaches it? Who hammers it home every day on EFR? Christian identists. Here's chapter 14. This is the last chapter. It's 21 verses. This is the last of Zechariah. So tomorrow I will do Malachi. That'll take a whole show. Verse 1 of chapter 14. This is Zechariah speaking. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be captured, and the houses looted, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the remainder of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the mount of the olive trees. 2:1-3:2. That's the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olive trees shall be cleft in the middle. That's split right down the middle. Baca. 1:2-3:4. In the middle of it, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, 15:16. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. This is future prophecy. Verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, because the valley of the mountains shall reach to Atzel. That's an unknown location near Jerusalem. 6:82, yea, you shall flee like you fled from the presence of the earthquake. 7:9-7:4, in the days of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, and Yahweh my Elohim shall come, and all the holy ones with you. Uzziah means my strength is Yah. And you can reference 2 Kings 15, verse 30, 2 Chronicles 26 verses 1-23, and Isaiah 1 verse 1. Verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be sunlight. That's 2:16, but cold. 3:3-6:8, and congelation. 7:0-8:7, that's kapha, that's the act or process of congealing. Verse 7. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at evening, 6153, time, 6256, it shall be sunlight. There's verse 8 of chapter 14. And you can reference Ezekiel 47, verse 1, the book of John, chapter 7, verse 38, and the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 1. Verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half toward the east sea, that's the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, and half toward the West Sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and winter it shall be. Verse 9, and Yahweh shall be king over all the land. In that day there shall be one Yahweh, and his name one. Verse 10, all the land shall be changed like the Arabah, that's the Jordan Valley, from Geba, 1387, to Rimmon, 7417, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited where it is, from the gate of Binyamin, that's Benjamin, to the place of the old gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower, 4026, of Cananel, and that means El is gracious, God is gracious, to the king's wine presses. Verse 11, and it shall be dwelled in, and there shall no more be devotion to destruction. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And verse 11, you can reference Revelations 22, verse 3. Verse 12. Now, verses 12 through 15, this could be symptoms of severe radiation exposure. Verse 12. And this shall be the plague by which Yahweh will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot away, 4743, while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall rot away in their sockets, 2356. That's core. That's literally holes. And their tongue shall rot away in their mouth. Just think on that. They've all got nukes over there. Okay. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day, a great tumult, 4103, that's Mahuma, from Yahweh shall be among them. That's a noise of crazy rioting and just loud screaming and hollering. And they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And lay hold is 2388, and that is Kazakh with a sense of violence. Verse 14. And Yehudah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. All our enemies will be plundered in that day. Ha ha. Verse 15. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, and of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in the camp, as this plague. That's four-legged and two-legged beasts. verse 16. You can reference Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 43. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass, everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to bow down before, prostrate, 7812, the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to, take note of this, keep the feast of booths, that's Chag Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. They will be forced to obey. The enemies will bow down and worship. Those that are left, there'll be some that survive, but not many. No Jews. They're devoted to destruction utterly. Verse 17. And it shall be that whoever will not come up of the families of the land to Jerusalem to bow down before the King, Yahweh of hosts, upon them shall fall no rain. Family of the lands, that's non-Israelite enemies. There'll be no rain. They will have no crops, no nothing. It'll starve them out. Verse 18, and if the family of Mizraim, that's Egypt, and that is a figure of all the enemies, it's not just Egypt. If the family of Mizraim does not go up and does not come, that have no rain, there shall be the plague by which Yahweh will smite the nations that do not come to keep the Feast of Booths. So how important is it, Israelites, that we keep the Feast of Tabernacles every year? How important is it? Think on that. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of all nations that do not come to keep the Feast of Booths. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. There's the ton of bricks that'll fall on you to maybe wake you up. If you haven't been keeping the feast for your own sake, start keeping them. That's the sign that Yahweh needs to show that you're His. Obedience. Not lip service on a Sunday. Verse 20. In that day there shall be on the bells, 4, 6, 9, 8 of the horses, holiness unto Yahweh. That's going to be inscribed on them. And the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Verse 21, yea, every pot in Jerusalem, and in Yehuda shall be holiness to Yahweh of hosts. And all they that sacrifice, 2076, shall come and take of them and cook in it, and in that day there shall be no more the Kenani, 3669, in the house of Yahweh of hosts. Now, I don't know what more I can tell you. Kenani means Canaanite, possibly merchants. And this was the trade of the Canaanite people. Canaanites for sure. But they were the ones that were sellers in the house of Yahweh. They purveyed the Canaanite merchants, sold the doves and the sheep, and were money changers and did all of that. They're not going to be in there anymore. They're going to be destroyed. Yahshua drove them out. With a cat of nine tails. I mean, it was plain they were not to be in there. But they were in there. So he ran them out. He made a whip of cords and beat on them. Oh, he didn't do that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He wasn't warm and fuzzy and touchy-feely. He had wrath that it was his father's house. You don't come in here and sell stuff on the Sabbath day. Later on, they would order the gates of Jerusalem closed on a Sabbath day to keep those people out of the city. They were still trying to come in and sell. And the people were buying. And they declared that outlaw. And they physically closed the gates and locked them. And he reviled, the prophet reviled the people for doing business on the Sabbath. Do you do business on the Sabbath now? All right, our calendar, the Enoch solar calendar, after the equinox, our calendar now has the Sabbath on a Tuesday. A lot of people don't keep that. But whatever Sabbath you're keeping, do you make it holy to Yahweh? Is it holy? Is it a holy day? Or do you go out to eat? Do you go to the store, go shopping, go to Walmart, go to the grocery store? Oh, well, we went to church this morning. That's enough. Now we're going to go out for a big meal and do business with people that are doing business on the Sabbath. That's a sin. Oh, well, you can't say that. No, the Bible says it. I don't say it. The Bible says it. I know what I tell you sometimes is unpleasant and it angers you and it upsets your little lifestyle, but that's just tough toenails. If it says it in the Scripture, I'm going to preach it. If it says it's a sin in the Scripture, it's a sin. I don't care whether you like it or not. The CI people are out there nodding their head, yeah, preach on. But a lot of the newcomers and the fence sitters are all upset. Man, who does this guy think he is? I don't think I'm anybody. I think the Scriptures that I'm preaching from is everything. It's the Word of Yahweh. Not my word. I didn't write the book. It's a guideline on how we're to live. And if you live according to the world and just do as you damn well please, you're not going to enter the kingdom. It says that right in Scripture. The Sabbath day is a holy day. You don't do what you please on the Sabbath. The day is dedicated holy to Yahweh. Scripture study and relaxation and rest. You don't do your work. If your tractor's broke down out in the field, you leave it there. You don't fix it on that day. You don't buy or sell on that day. It's a holy day. We're to be a holy people as Yahweh our Elohim is holy. He expects effort on our part. I don't know anybody. I've never met anybody. I'm probably not going to meet anybody until I meet the Messiah that is perfect. Oh, I know we're supposed to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. That's a conscious, ongoing effort. We're fighting against ourselves because we're in the world and we are in fleshly bodies and we have weaknesses. But we don't have to give in to them. We can fight them. Our biggest enemy right now is the guy in the mirror. Ourselves. Oh, yeah, but the Jews and the devil and we have free will. Okay? We'll be tempted. Absolutely. All the time. But if we don't give in to the temptation, that's the example that Christ established when he resisted the devil. When the devil tried to deceive him, well, he showed us how to deal with it. This whole book is a teaching book. It gave us the Torah, okay? First five books. And now, in all these things, it's giving us examples of how to use that Torah. How to use it. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore and go through all that rigmarole. The final sacrifice was performed for us. To lift that burden that we couldn't keep off of us. It wasn't getting it done. Well, the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah finished that. That part is completed. But the rest of the Torah still stands. It has not passed away. It's not nailed to the cross. Every law in there is to be obeyed. From circumcision to women covering their head when they pray, to men wearing a four-cornered garment with tzitzit, to not eating pork, etc., etc. Equitable business practices, not emulating the Jews and being dishonest when we do business. I mean, on and on and on and on. Just men wearing beards. Oh, I know it's not going to keep you out of the kingdom. But it's one more little thing, and you add up a whole bunch of these little things that you ignore. And it mounts up to a lot of stuff that you're just passing over. Oh, he isn't watching. Yeah, he is. Yahweh watches. Yahweh keeps his eye on us, and we will account for that. I'm going to have a lot to account for in my sinful life, and I will hang my head in shame and cry because of the sinful, horrible life that I led before he really called me and I gave myself over to him completely. I'm not that guy anymore. I wouldn't think of doing some of that stuff. Oh, please. But I did it. If I'm so perfect, why would I need a redeemer? It's because I'm not perfect. And I desperately do need a redeemer. And that's Yeshua Messiah. And I don't hide it under a bushel like a candle. I hold that light up for everybody to see. I'm not the example. Yeshua is the example. My Savior and Redeemer is the example. Not me. I'm still a man. I have a tiny little divine spark in me that was breathed into the Adam in the Garden of Eden that carry that seed line. And I am of pure Adamic seed line, and I have that holy spark. Praise Yahweh that I'm not one of the goats out there, one of the beasts of the field. And if I'm desperate sounding here, I'm desperate for you, not me. I want people that have not been obedient to become obedient, because I don't want them to bear the consequences of disobedience. I care about my brothers and sisters. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's your racial kinsman. And how much more can I express my love for you except telling you the Word of God and what it says? The Word of Yahweh is a blessing. It's not a burden. The food laws are given to us for our health reasons, because we are His children and He loves us. He doesn't want us to eat garbage and poison. He wants us to keep from sexual immorality and sin, because it's an abomination to Him, and He doesn't want us to suffer the consequences of that. Don't put anything before Yahweh and make it an idol. Put Yahweh first, because He doesn't want us to bear the burden of the consequences of that. It is absolutely important that Israelites, the white Caucasian people, come under subjection and obedience to Yahweh and stop trying to put things off and make light of things. Oh, that's not important anymore. If He put it in the book, it's important. He wouldn't have said so otherwise, because Yahweh is not frivolous. And He does not ask us to do frivolous things. He's dead serious about everything in that scripture. And He gave us a how-to manual on how to live under His laws. Every single situation that would come up in our lives is somewhere in this book. Everyone, without exception. Even how to restrain oneself when confronted by libtard morons, by Judeo-Christians that are so blind and will rail at you because you don't go along with their denominational doctrine of men. They'll call you names. Oh, you're crazy. Oh, you're a fool. Oh, you're in a cult. Oh, this and that, and blah, 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 on and on ad nauseum. They never stop. And it's a shame, and it breaks my heart. But a lot of people, brothers and sisters, just aren't going to make it. Well, it's time. My hour's up. I'll be back with the book of Malachi tomorrow on Friday the 21st. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.